The day after Christmas, Bill, 20 years ago, JonBenet Ramsey died.
I think on Christmas.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry. December 25th, 1996. Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I think I thought about this case so frequently, and it still comes up in my head every once in a while, because how could it go unsolved?
That's the biggest mystery of all, is 20 years later, with all the innovations we've had in this sort of thing, it's amazing that nobody has solved the case, but that's how it is.
And just so many weird things, like Patsy called and she was kidnapped and there was a note, but yet she was found in the house. On the line with us right now, former prosecutor, legal analyst, and consultant, Beth Karras. And Beth, you are the featured legal expert on Investigation Discovery's JonBenet, an American murder mystery, which premieres tonight at 9 on Investigation Discovery. Welcome, Beth.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
20 years ago, and I'm still, I mean, doesn't it drive you nuts? I still think about poor JonBenet Ramsey so frequently, and how could this have gone unsolved for so long?
Well, if you were to talk to some of the original detectives from the Boulder Police Department who worked the case, they would say they did solve it, but that they ran up against a lot of politics in the Boulder District Attorney's Office. The Boulder DA at the time, Alex Hunter, really, he plea bargained a lot of cases. There weren't a lot of homicides in Boulder, so it's not as though the detectives were constantly investigating homicides the way they do in Chicago, New York, and other major cities. But they were good detectives who were on the case. And in a situation where a child dies in a circumstance like this in the home, detectives have to rule out the people closest to the child first, right? You look and then you move in concentric circles outside in your investigation. And it seemed that from the outset, you know, the DA's office, at least the perspective, the perception rather, is that they were focusing on an intruder very early on, whereas the police needed to rule out John and Patsy Ramsey and, of course, their son. And they weren't getting the cooperation they needed from the parents. So the police never did, in their eyes, rule them out. It was the DA that ruled out the Ramseys. And in fact, we learned 3 years ago in 2013 when a judge unsealed the grand jury, their 13-month grand jury action. They had met for 13 months, and everybody thought, well, there was insufficient evidence to return an indictment. That's not true. John and Patsy Ramsey were indicted. They were not indicted for murder by the grand jury. They were indicted for child abuse resulting in death. And Alex Hunter refused to sign and file the indictment because he believed he didn't have not enough evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt the charges. You know, grand jury action is probable cause. It was odd that he did it that way. He should have just filed the indictment and then dismissed it, saying there was insufficient evidence. But instead, he let the public think. Way back in the night, what was that, 1999, 1998, that the grand jury, 99, the grand jury decided there was insufficient evidence when they did find enough evidence.
I remember, all right, remember the 2.5-page handwritten ransom note. It was written on paper from a notebook in the family's home. The sum of $118 ransom was demanded for JonBenet's return. That amount was almost exactly what John Ramsey earned in a bonus that year. I remember when this happened. Weren't you totally sure, Bill, that the parents had something to do with it?
I couldn't. I mean, like everybody, everything made sense and nothing made
sense. Exactly.
You know? Was there any, remind me, because I don't know the answer to this, Beth, was there any history of any kind of child abuse with them and JonBenet, the parents? There wasn't, was there?
No. In fact, by all accounts, they were very good parents and very loving parents. So, but JonBenet was a bedwetter. She was a regular bedwetter and sometimes even defecate, according to a housekeeper. And the police theory was that Patsy was just got upset with her and in her anger may have, you know, shook her or threw her or, you know, and JonBenet cracked her skull and then she staged the whole thing. Of course, let me just say the DA, the current DA Mary Lacey, or at least in 2008, Mary Lacey, the DA, who was Alex Hunter's successor, exonerated. Patsy was dead by then. She died of cancer, ovarian cancer, in 2006. Yeah. But in 2008, Mary Lacey's office said, John and Patsy Ramsey, nothing to do with it. We have completely removed them from any umbrella of suspicion. That said, you know, there were still a lot of questions, a lot of red flags. And there were, you know, the police theory sounded reasonable, that Patsy just got upset with her daughter, did not mean to kill her, and then staged it, and that the family has protected her the whole time.
So the family would have been in on that, right? If that were the scenario, then her husband and probably kids would have also have known that.
Right. Yeah. The family, right. Well, I don't know about Burke, but who was now 29 years old. He was 9 at the time, but John would have known about it. Again, you know, they have always denied anything to do with this. They gave an interview to the police initially, but they had lawyers, separate lawyers, within hours of JonBenet's murder, within hours of her body being discovered in the basement. They had separate lawyers and a PR machine. And, you know, one of their friends apparently did warn them, look, you know, the police are going to be focusing on you, so maybe that's why they lawyered up. But they talked to CNN on New Year's Day, so January 1st, 1997. They talked to CNN before they gave a real in-depth interview to the police. And, in fact, it wasn't until April they talked to the police. Burke, the child, didn't talk to the police for about 18 months. You know, that's a different situation. But, you know, people always thought, in the ransom note that you mentioned, no handwriting expert could ever exclude Patsy. One did say that she wrote it, but he was not put before the grand jury by the DA. So one expert said she wrote it. All the others said, look, we can't say for sure she wrote it, but we cannot exclude her. And the ransom note was written from a pad in the Ramsey home using a pen in the Ramsey home. That was determined.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there a break-in? How did they figure out how this alleged intruder got in?
Well, the police initially said there was no evidence of any sort of forced entry, true in terms of the doorways, but there was a broken window at the basement level, and John had said that he got locked out of his house some months earlier, and he had broken the window and actually never fixed it, but this broken window could have allowed a person to slip into the basement and then have access to the house. So a theory, and this was the DA's office theory, that, by the way, Alex Hunter had hired an experienced homicide detective named Lou Smith to look into this. So the DA was doing their investigation, and the police were doing their investigation. They were a bit at odds, right, intruder theory versus the Ramseys. But Lou Smith thought that it was possible the intruder got into the house and hid while the Ramsey family was at friend's home on Christmas evening. In fact, you know, her death, I heard you say in the beginning her death was the 25th, not the 26th. Not clear. Yeah, actually, it's probably just after midnight on the 26th, but her tombstone says 25th.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, this person could have slipped into the house and then just waited there till the family got home. You know, there were marks on her neck, and according to Lou Smith, those are stun gun marks, two places in her body, and so his theory was that she was incapacitated with a stun gun in her bedroom and then carried downstairs into the basement.
Let's take a quick break. Beth Karras is our guest, former prosecutor, legal analyst, part of the Investigation Discovery's presentation, JonBenet, an American Murder Mystery, which is airing September 12th through the 14th. We'll talk more with her next. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
A case that I've kind of been obsessed with for the last 20 years is JonBenet Ramsey. And tonight, the premiere of a three-part investigation on the Investigation Discovery Channel. It's called JonBenet, an American Murder Mystery. And the legal expert on this special, Beth Karras, on the line with us. Beth, several years ago, I want to say 2006, there was a confession of sorts of someone who said that he did the whole JonBenet Ramsey thing, and that turned out not to be true. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, this was an individual named John Mark Carr who had been corresponding for some time with a professor at the University of Colorado named Michael Tracy. In episode two or three, I can't remember, but not tonight's episode, you'll hear about this. In fact, I'm in two and three, by the way. I'm not in tonight's episode. In any event, John Mark Carr had been trying to get a message to Patsy Ramsey that her daughter died accidentally, and he started giving more and more details to Michael Tracy that concerned Tracy, and Tracy reported it to the police. He shared what he had in these emails, and Carr wasn't using his real name at the time. He was using a pseudonym of the name Daxis. Well, this concerned authorities enough that they tracked him down through emails and found that he was in Bangkok, Thailand. He had actually skipped out on a warrant in Northern California for the possession of child pornography. So he definitely lusted after sort of prepubescent girls and claimed to have killed JonBenet. So there was an arrest warrant for him. He was taken into custody in Bangkok, brought to the United States through LAX. It became this media frenzy for about a two-week period until it was the summer of 2006. Actually, it was a little more than a few weeks. But in August, when DNA results came back, it showed Jean-Marc Carr didn't match this unidentified DNA, which was in the underwear of JonBenet. So he was let go. And, well, he was brought to California in that case, ultimately was dismissed because they had lost the evidence against him. But it was very strange that he confessed to it, but he wasn't the guy.
Beth, if they've got this DNA, why aren't they using it to test family members or other suspects?
Well, they have compared the DNA with other suspects, and they have compared to the DNA with family members. Now, this is explained in the show. I don't want to spoil.
Okay.
Right, and you'll have to watch it tonight.
Right. Right. It'll come up in the next, I think Wednesday night, you'll see more with the DNA expert talk about it. But they use DNA technology called touch DNA. So the DNA can transfer so easily that just because somebody's DNA is present doesn't necessarily mean that they were a killer. But that doesn't necessarily apply to this case. I don't want to say any more. I want to encourage people to watch it because it was really quite interesting. I have seen the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that part until I saw it yesterday, and I found that really fascinating.
What else are we going to find without giving too much away? And again, this is called JonBenet, an American murder mystery. Three-night series premieres tonight, Investigation Discovery. And we've got Beth Karras on the line, featured legal expert on episodes 2 and 3. What else are we going to be shocked to find out from this little three-parter?
Well, the three-part series, and I think they did a fabulous job, does include one of the former investigators. There's a former FBI profiler. So these people have some really interesting things to say about, you know, the way the investigation was conducted and conclusions they reach. So I don't really want to tell you what their conclusions are. There will be people who will agree and others who will say, no way. You know, and I don't think this case is, frankly, I don't think it's ever going to be solved. Because there have been so many potential intruders or under the intruder theory who have been looked at, not just the Jean-Marc Carrs, but other people, and who actually had, you know, I mean, maybe one of them who's dead now, you know, actually did it, a guy named Michael Helgoth, and one of his acquaintances is in the show also. He firmly believes Michael Helgoth did it. So that'll be explained. But I don't think, you know, we'll ever have a resolution of this case, ever.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's tragic. You mentioned that as far as the Boulder police are concerned, they feel that they have solved the case. But without a prosecution, you can't really feel that way, can you?
Right. Without an arrest, they don't close their book. So it's technically an open case. And, you know, one of the former detectives on the case named Steve Thomas wrote a book about it. He actually quit after about 18 months because he didn't like the way it was, the investigation was going forward, because the DA's office just wasn't working hand in hand with the police. Typically, you know, I used to be a prosecutor in Manhattan, you know, the NYPD, that was my investigative body. I mean, we worked together. I didn't pull against my police officers, and that just wasn't the case in the Ramsey investigation. So Thomas wrote a book after he quit, and it was quite revealing. I've read it. It was quite revealing when he discussed the relationship between the DA's office and the police. So some police will feel they had it figured out, or at least they weren't allowed to go down one route, maybe ultimately ruling out the family, but they couldn't even proceed. The DA wouldn't even agree for them to subpoena phone records and credit card statements, just very standard investigative steps to take early on, and the DA wouldn't even allow that.
I've heard people say that if the Ramseys were in a well-to-do family, that this case would have been solved immediately. Is that true? Could that be true?
Yes.
There's
no question that when you have money, you can buy the best legal representation, you can buy a PR machine, and so you know, if they had something to hide, they were able to, you know, protect themselves.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I mean, the DA says, you know, they're not even going down that route anymore. The Ramseys are cleared. But I do think that we have a two-tiered justice.
Yeah.
I've seen it too much.
I can't wait to see this. It airs tonight at 9 o'clock Central Time, our time. Investigation Discovery, one of three nights, premieres tonight. JonBenet, an American murder mystery. Beth Karras, featured legal expert on this Investigation Discovery special on nights 2 and 3. Thank you so much for the information. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the three episodes.
Thank
we
you.
Will. Thanks, Beth. All right,
I'm
let's
obsessed
see.
With this, kind of.
Yeah, this should be interesting. And it's not the only, I have to say, there's a bunch of JonBenet Ramsey-type shows coming up in the next few months.
Which is weird to me because it is the 20th anniversary, but
yeah.
I guess you don't want to do this coming close to Christmas,
right.
So we'll get it out of the way now.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
That's true. All right, a quick break, and then we'll check in with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune right after the news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.